Chapter 2. Hot Soy Milk Soup. Everything was taking much too long, and through it all, Shen Wei continued to bleed. In his fury and despair, Zhao Yanlan thought they might as well be still in Dixing, with the smell of blood hot on the stone floors. Oil lamps were smoking, flames leapt in the great braziers of the throne room. Then Da Qing boxed his ears.
Shen Wei needs you!
Zhao Yanlan blinked. The world refocused around him. The cliffs in the distance were only cypress trees. The red glow, nothing but sunset.
Are you in there?
Da Qing hissed furiously.
Knock it off, damn cat, he muttered. Where else would I be?
There was still far too much blood. Shen Wei was cradled awkwardly in his arms, and Zhao Yanlan hardly dared move for fear of aggravating his injuries. He carefully worked the gold stays out of Shen Wei's collar and pocketed them for safekeeping. He loosened the silk tie and released the uppermost buttons of his shirt. Shen Wei didn't respond to any of it.
Shen Wei, he whispered at last. I wish I could let you sleep. But we need you to wake up.
His eyelids fluttered, but didn't open. Zhao Yanlan laid the backs of two fingers lightly on that beloved face.
We've got to have your help, he explained quietly.
The Dixingren who attacked you did a number on our only road. We're going to have to carry you and Guo Chengchun out. But right now, you're too beat up to move. He bent lower and touched his lips to the bloodied brow.
Please, Xiao Wei. For me.
Shen Wei opened his eyes and looked up. His eyes got very wide. Zhao Yanlan. He couldn't help but smile down.
Yes, Shen Wei.
You're here.
Behold, in the flesh.
But I made my plans in secret, he complained earnestly, as though this was in any way a reasonable argument. His voice was only a thin whisper.
I did not wish you to know.
Right, well, I'm afraid that particular cat is out of the bag. Shen Wei looked like he wanted to continue protesting reality, so Zhao Yanlan talked fast. You're bleeding pretty badly, and we're worried about internal injuries. You've got to stop the blood loss. Do you think you can do that? Shen Wei frowned slightly and glanced down at himself.
I cannot heal around the knives.
No, don't even try to do that. I meant that I want to get those blades out so you can fix yourself up. I didn't want to start unless you were sure. And don't say,
I'm fine, he whispered. But Guo Chengchun surely needs me. He fought for me and was grievously wounded.
But you've already helped him, yeah? You let him sleep, so he's not in pain right now. Now you've got to help yourself. He tilted Shen Wei's face very gently. He made sure Shen Wei met his eyes. I'm going to remove the first knife. You just concentrate on stopping the bleeding and don't go into shock. Are you following me? Shen Wei looked mildly affronted, as though Zhao Yanlan were making a fuss over nothing.
Of course, he whispered sternly. I'm starting now.
Zhao Yanlan glanced down briefly, but otherwise kept his eyes fixed on Shunwei's face. He drew his hand back, easing the blade out of Shunwei's body. He felt a sickening drag as he worked, and when finally the knife caught on Shunwei's dress shirt, Daqin had to help maneuver it free, growling with distaste. He held up the bloodied tip for Zhao Yunlan to see.
Son of a bitch!
The weapon was barbed. A rush of blood spread across blue broadcloth, and Shunwei closed his eyes.
That's it! We're calling in medevac. I don't give a damn about the optics.
Shunwei's eyes flew open.
Zhao Yunlan, you cannot. I absolutely fucking can. You cannot expect me to sit here tearing these fishhooks out of you.
The situation in Dixing is even more precarious than we believed for loyalists to mount so brazen an attack.
We must not let them know how nearly they succeeded.
His whisper was all but voiceless.
If we continue like this, they may very well succeed anyway, and then where will we be?
It is only pain, Zhao Yunlan. I am already healing.
Perhaps Chu Shuja would be better able to...
No! No! I'll keep going, if you swear. You are truly healing.
We have both survived far worse. You know this.
There were 1,000 things Zhao Yunlan could say to that, none of them helpful.
He ducked his head and finally muttered, "Second one now, if you're ready."
It didn't get any easier. Daqing finally backed away and Lin Jing took his place.
"Zhu Hong will be here any minute now," he assured Zhao Yunlan.
"And she is ripshit. There won't be enough left of Brother Moonflower to make a charcoal briquette when she gets through with him."
"Shunwei," Zhao Yunlan said, pausing before he worked the next barb free.
"Are you still with me?" His eyes were closed and there was no response.
Hang on, Shunwei. You have to let me know you're in there."
Shunwei blinked, focused with obvious effort.
"Kunlun," he breathed. "Oh, I thought I saw..."
Zhao Yunlan cupped the side of his face, his hand wet with Shunwei's blood.
"Shunwei," his voice broke, "do you know where you are?"
His eyes darted from side to side.
"Your son was here," he whispered. "He was so angry, so lost. I have done a terrible thing, but I swear there was no other way."
No, you saved us all. You even saved yourself, and Yazan is absolutely not here. That was just the Moonflowers. Nothing but a bad dream. You remember?"
"He hurt you," Shunwei moaned. "I couldn't stop him."
"Shunwei!
Shunwei!"
His eyes closed. "This ends right now," Zhao Yunlan decided. "Lin Jing, get the medevac helicopter up here." Shunwei's eyes opened at once.
"No, I am healing. You must finish it."
"Not until you tell me where you are, what we're doing here." The dark eyes narrowed.
"We are in the Zichang Cemetery. You have inexplicably stopped removing the blades that are preventing me from healing my internal injuries."
"Inexplicable?
But, yes, that is exactly what we're doing. And you have to stay with me if you don't want to be airlifted out in a government helicopter.
I am with you, Zhao Yunlan. You must continue.
Zhao Yunlan huffed incredulously, but kept working.
He could feel the minute flinch of Shen Wei's body as he grasped the handle of each blade in turn.
Shen Wei made no sound as the barbs were worked free, but Zhao Yunlan was so close he could feel his subtle shifts of breath.
I think that was the last of that cluster, Lin Jing finally said. They were working by flashlight now, and Shen Wei's shirt was a shiny, sodden black, plastered against his torso. Zhu Hong was talking somewhere behind them. Zhao Yunlan realized that he had probably been hearing her voice for some time.
That should stabilize Xiao Guo's metabolism for transport, Chuga, so we can get his injuries seen to in the hospital.
What has the SID come to without me?
Ay-ya!
Shen Wei has to take Xiao Guo as his backup now?
Guo Changchun acquitted himself with honor, Zhu Shuja retorted sternly. Then he admitted, it was not perhaps an ideal situation.
You don't say. Lao Zhao, how is Shen Wei?
Zhao Yunlan dropped his head. His free hand was resting on Shen Wei's shoulder, and when he lifted it to wave vaguely in response to Zhu Hong's question, he saw he'd left another bloody print on the fine wool. He felt battered and utterly exhausted, and that was absurd, because he wasn't the one who had just had a dozen steel blades pulled out of his guts. Zhu Hong gave up on waiting for an answer from him and addressed Shen Wei directly.
I have more of the snake medicine we gave to Xiao Guo, but I don't know if it will work on a Di Xing Ren.
I do not think it would prove efficacious.
His clinical reply was undercut by the whisper in which it was delivered.
I was afraid of that. Well, my cousins brought two litters. We can carry you both out through the woods.
I do not need to be carried, Shen Wei asserted ridiculously.
You still have a ring of knives in your hip, Zhao Yunlan shouted.
And I believe you do not have the strength to remove those barbs from bone, Shen Wei returned mildly.
Fortunately, the bleeding is comparatively minimal. I can wait to address those injuries. The fucking point being you cannot walk anywhere right now, much less set off on a night march through the forest.
With great respect, Hei Paosha, Zhu Shuja interrupted. For tactical reasons, our party should stay together, but Guo Chengchun needs a hospital as soon as possible. Although you do not require assistance, if you would permit it, we might all travel faster, which would allow Xiao Guo to receive the care he requires with greater dispatch.
Zhao Yunlan had no idea Chuga could be so politic. Even more surprising was the fact that Shen Wei allowed himself to be persuaded.
Thank heavens, because Zhao Yunlan didn't have the heart or the patience to gently argue Shen Wei into accepting help. It was almost unfathomable, after everything they had survived, that he might have lost Shen Wei to a group of cranky old men and a disaffected Yasho. Without Guo Changchun, they might have succeeded. Of course, with more effective assistance, Shen Wei might not be so gravely wounded now. A broken arm, broken fingers. It was a physical pain to Zhao Yunlan to see those beautiful hands so damaged. His bloody face, the cruel blades still in his body. Enough. Shen Wei might not have wanted his assistance, but he had it now. And Zhao Yunlan was not going anywhere.
Don't you at least have a pillow for him?
A pillow? Lin Jing had the effrontery to look offended. This is a science laboratory, not a youth hostel.
You couldn't prove it by me, the number of times I've caught you napping, Zhao Yunlan snapped.
And can you imagine the reaction if you came in and found me with my head on a pillow? You'd cancel my monthly bonuses retroactively for 18 generations.
I do not require a pillow, murmured Shen Wei.
Yelling at Shen Wei that he deserved at least one fucking pillow would not help anything, not even his own feelings. Zhao Yunlan gritted his teeth, stripped off his jacket, and folded it.
I'm just going to put this under your head, all right?
Professor Shen is a pretty traditional guy, Lin Jing observed unhelpfully. Are you sure he wouldn't prefer a stone neck rest? He had the good grace to wince a little at the glare Zhao Yunlan turned on him. Bad enough that they were stuck in these cold surroundings. He had wanted to take Shen Wei home and bundle him up in bed, but Zhao Yunlan understood why that was unworkable for now. In the lab, they could monitor Shen Wei's vitals while he slowed his metabolism and rested, recovering the strength he needed to heal. Zhao Yunlan didn't have to like it, though. He eased his hand under the curve of Shen Wei's skull and raised his head just enough to scoot the jacket underneath. Shen Wei didn't open his eyes. It wasn't much padding, but it made Zhao Yunlan feel slightly better, and he knew he was a selfish bastard, so good enough.
I'm going to clean your face while you rest, he said. Let me know if that disturbs you.
A ghost of a smile, maybe? Well, surely that would help some.
It was a disruption in the order of the universe to let him lie there like this. The blood and dirt on his face were the least of it.
His broken right arm had been crudely splinted before that nightmare journey out of the woods. He still wore most of his bloodied clothing, rather than having it cut off around his injuries. He had preferred to wait until the final barbs had been removed, the broken bones healed. He assured them that with rest, he would certainly recover the ability to dematerialize the blades and knit the bone together. Zhao Yunlan had not seen any evidence of that sort of raw power from Shen Wei in months. But he agreed, especially when their only other option was to subject him to surgery in a Haixing hospital. Zhao Yunlan felt like crying. Instead, he boiled water in the electric kettle and sponged dirt off Shen Wei's face with soaked gauze from their first aid supplies. Blood turned the water pink. He emptied the bowl and started again, slowly and as gently as possible. He had never seen bruises on Shen Wei before, but they were coming up now. He was going to have a couple of black eyes by morning. The gash through his left eyebrow started bleeding again as he was cleaning it, and probably needed stitches. Shen Wei would heal it himself once he was strong enough. It was only pain, after all. Shen Wei was used to being hurt. Moving very carefully and slowly, Zhao Yunlan disposed of the latest handful of dirty, blood-soaked gauze.
He set the shallow bowl aside, and only then allowed himself to curl forward over his clenched fists. His knees hit the floor with a thump, but he felt the impact like the fall of someone else altogether. A flare of anguish consumed him, bright and hot enough to power the lantern over Dixing.
"Boss?" Lin Jing demanded in concern.
"It's nothing," he tried to say, but it came out as a sort of gasp, worrying enough that Shen Wei blinked wearily and opened his eyes.
"Zhao Yunle, are you hurt?"
His voice was groggy and exhausted, words slurring. Zhao Yunlan hated himself. He staggered upright, not too proud to accept Lin Jing's arm, and made it back to Shen Wei's side.
"Hush, hush,"
he was saying the whole time. He ran his fingers through Shen Wei's damp bangs, smoothing them away from his brow.
"Just rest."
It was a sign of how exhausted Shen Wei really was that he accepted being fobbed off like that. His bloodshot eyes closed.
"I'm going to bring us something to eat from the kitchen,"
Lin Jing offered cautiously.
"Do you want anything?"
Zhao Yunlan swallowed and looked up. He patted his pockets.
"Out of lollipops."
"That's not really food." Zhao Yunlan did not even have to turn his head. Lin Jing raised his hands.
"Fine. Fine. Lollipops it is."
Once he was gone, Zhao Yunlan pulled a lab stool up to the platform where Shen Wei lay on his back, trailing electrode leads and an IV for fluids. He propped his elbows on the platform near Shen Wei's head and lowered his own head. When he was sure that Shen Wei was finally asleep, he whispered,
"I'm sorry I wasn't there. I'm sorry I wasn't strong enough for you."
Shen Wei wasn't asleep.
"Zhao Yunlan,"
he breathed. His voice was so soft, Zhao Yunlan had to put his ear next to Shen Wei's lips to hear the rest of it.
"You are my life, and I will not see you hurt."
This was not the time for an argument. It certainly wasn't the time for running around yelling and maybe pitching something across the room for good measure. Allowing Shen Wei to rest and heal was the only thing that mattered, so Zhao Yunlan turned his head just enough to brush his lips over Shen Wei's and said,
"I know.
Now, sleep." Then he stayed close to be sure Shen Wei did just that, because taking orders was not a strong point. Zhao Yunlan wrapped one hand loosely around Shen Wei's upper arm and laid the side of his head on his own arm to stay near. The next thing Zhao Yunlan knew was the deep rumbling of a cat's purr vibrating through the metal table. Zhao Yunlan raised his head. Dachin was curled up on the opposite side, tucked snugly against Shen Wei's face and neck, his front paws and chin resting on Shen Wei's shoulder. Zhao Yunlan got up carefully, stretching out his own neck and shoulders, which were stiff after sleeping with his head on the table. He wondered if Shen Wei had nudged him to sleep the way he had Guo Chengchan.
"Hey, you want to see this?"
Lin Jing announced in a noisy whisper. Zhao Yunlan limped over, shaking out his legs as he walked to get the feeling back in them. Then he couldn't figure out what Lin Jing was showing him. It looked like a handful of silver knitting needles melted on the hearth. Finally, it clicked. He spun around and looked at Shen Wei. The barbed knives were gone from his hip. Zhao Yunlan groaned in relief.
I can't believe I slept through that.
Lin Jing shook his head.
I almost missed it too. I'm not sure Professor Shen himself was really awake. Anyway, I heard a little clink as the first one fell out and hit the table. Professor Shen's eyes never even opened. It was like his body was rejecting them in his sleep.
Zhao Yunlan felt for a chair and sat down hard. It had been such a very long time since they had been able to take Shen Wei's healing for granted. The relief was breathtaking.
You need food, Lin Jing said. Da Qing brought steamed buns. I think there's a couple left.
He handed over the box, but the smell of cold pork and garlic turned his stomach. He pushed it away.
Right, Lin Jing said. There's always lollipops.
True to his word, there were a stack of them on the lab table. Zhao Yunlan was reaching for one when Shen Wei called his name. He flew to his side. Shen Wei's eyes were still closed. His face was mottled with bruises, but the swelling was far less noticeable than it had been only a few hours previously.
Shen Wei, I'm here. Do you need me to move that fat cat away from your face so you can breathe?
Da Qing didn't raise his head, but his tail thumped in warning.
I need you not to have lollipops for breakfast, Shen Wei said, his voice clear.
He blinked open his eyes.
Zhao Yunlan beamed down at him. Then I will wait to eat until we get home. We have leftovers in the fridge.
More acceptable than lollipops, Shen Wei agreed slowly. He glanced down at himself and his nose wrinkled.
Perhaps a shower and a change of clothes.
That is the best plan I've heard all morning, if it is morning. He glanced at his watch.
Near enough.
He removed the IV needle and helped Shen Wei sit up. Da Qing immediately made himself at home on top of Zhao Yunlan's folded jacket, where Shen Wei's head had been, curling his tail around himself to cover his eyes. Shen Wei stretched out his left hand, watching his fingers unfurl and spread wide. He started to work on the knots, securing the splint on his right arm.
This will go faster, Lin Jing said, producing a pair of blunt-nosed medical scissors.
Zhao Yunlan took them before Shen Wei could and clipped through the bindings, easing the makeshift splint away.
So were you even awake for that? Lin Jing wanted to know.
Because it looked to me like you were sound asleep there the whole time. Shen Wei made a fist with his right hand, flexed the muscles, and then stretched, palm outward. A soft sigh of pleasure or relief escaped him.
Can the 20 questions wait? Zhao Yunlan grumbled. There's a hot shower with Shen Wei's name on it just around the corner.
Shen Wei smiled faintly in gratitude and slid off the table. Zhao Yunlan followed him to the locker room.
Do you need help? He asked. Or can you just...
He made a complicated gesture that meant, magic away those clothes with one of your cool superpowers? Shen Wei understood the unvoiced question and even took it seriously. I will never have unlimited power in Haixing, especially while I am still recovering. It makes more sense to reserve my dark energy for more important issues. I would like to see Guo Changchun before we go home.
Yes, good thought. Of course, of course.
Zhao Yunlan eased the suit coat with his own bloody handprint by the lapel off Shen Wei's shoulders and laid it aside. The tie was long gone. Shen Wei unbuttoned his shirt down to the sternum himself, but the dried blood made it impossible to continue. Zhao Yunlan produced the scissors.
"Allow me."
He cut carefully along the placket. Flakes of dried blood drifted down as the scissors crunched through stiff fabric. Zhao Yunlan schooled his expression and pulled the ruined shirt from Shen Wei's shoulders. The black undershirt was stuck to his torso. Zhao Yunlan peeled it up and sliced through it from neckline to hem, the scissors snagging on holes left by the barbs. He pulled away the stiff remains of the garment and let them drop as well. Shen Wei's torso was painted in dark brown gouts and smears. Zhao Yunlan blinked hard, shook his head, and then unbuckled the thin leather belt and drew it out of the loops.
"I thought this might be salvageable," he offered weakly.
But, of course, it was soaked with blood as well. He worked the button of his fly open carefully, and after some initial sticky resistance, he was able to pull down the zipper and ease Shen Wei's briefs and trousers over his hips. His groin was matted with blood, his legs striped with it.
"Here, sit down."
He guided Shen Wei half a step back to the bench and then knelt to peel off his bloody socks. The shoes had been removed last night, filled with blood. Sitting back, Zhao Yunlan laid his hands on Shen Wei's knees and gazed up into his face, trying to find the words. Shen Wei waited.
"Can't you understand?"
he finally tried to say, but he choked and had to start over.
"This is not okay. This will never be okay."
Shen Wei looked away. "I know. I regret that I did not recognize the threat posed by the Yasho who saw me in the tunnel. Not even when his precipitate haste to notify his confederates caused a blackout. I was distracted by my own concerns, and that was unforgivable." Zhao Yunlan curled his hands into fists on Shen Wei's thighs.
"That is not what I am talking about."
Nevertheless, it was a grievous error. "We must redouble our efforts to investigate these dangerous malcontents." With that, he rose easily, drawing Zhao Yunlan to his feet as well. Zhao Yunlan's breath caught. It had been such a very long time since Shen Wei had displayed such casual strength. He followed him as far as the shower, stopping just beyond the line of spray, and allowed himself to simply watch Shen Wei clean away the evidence of last night's horrors, first with hot water, then with soap, until the water finally ran clear, revealing unblemished flesh. Zhao Yunlan did not really believe it until he saw it with his own eyes. Shen Wei lifted an eyebrow at him, but otherwise allowed him to look his fill. Zhao Yunlan handed him a towel after he turned off the showerhead, and tried again. Standing too close for Shen Wei to easily retreat, he said,
"You never told me how your grief for Yuzun was physically damaging you. You didn't tell me how you were planning to fix it."
Shen Wei looked away from him again. "I could not," he admitted softly. "It would have hurt you too much." Zhao Yunlan burst out,
"But this hurts too."
Then Shen Wei finally looked at him, unguarded at last. There were droplets of water on the ends of his hair, caught in his eyebrows and lashes, standing on the planes of his face. "That has surely been my experience of love," he agreed.
Zhao Yanlan groaned from the pit of his being. He saw Shen Wei's eyes widening with alarm, so he threw his arms around him and held on for all he was worth. After a moment, he felt Shen Wei's arms come around him in turn, gently at first and then with strength and intention. "Zhao Yanlan," he whispered fiercely. "My heart. My life." Zhao Yanlan closed his eyes with another groan and allowed Shen Wei to bear him up. In his dream, the library table overflowed with good foods purchased from half the street vendors in Dragon City. There were pot stickers and lotus root, fried breadsticks, cold wheat noodles and eel, radish fritters, scallion pancakes, and sticky rice dumplings stuffed with salted duck egg yolk, sour pickles, and pork belly. There was fresh soy milk and eggs on crispy fried bread. Wang Zheng and Song Zan were gathered close with their heads together, exclaiming over the choices and feeding each other little bites of everything. Guo Chengcheng thought his heart might burst. He was so full of happiness. "Who has provided this feast?" he exclaimed. "This is wonderful." Wang Zheng glanced up and smiled to see him. "Guo Chengcheng, please join us. We have plenty to share." "May I invite the others? Chuga surely will not scold me if Daqing helps himself now. There is enough for everyone."
"Idiot," Chu Shu just said gruffly. "Is that all it takes to make you happy? Breakfast for everyone?"
Guo Chengcheng opened his eyes and tried to answer, but his throat was very dry. Chu Shuja helped him take a sip of water, and then he was able to say, "A gift of food makes everyone happy, and then I can be happy as well." Chu Shuja had a complicated expression on his face. It was more frown than smile, but his eyes did not look angry.
"Do you want more water?"
"Not now, thank you."
Guo Chengcheng settled back and looked around himself. This was a hospital bed. He remembered now.
"How is Professor Shun?"
"He has slain the venerable elder who insulted Chief Zhao, but the others escaped into the forest with the Moonflower Yasho and... Oh, Chuga, Moonflower was a very false friend."
"I know. They will all be dealt with, and Shen Wei will recover."
"How are you feeling?"
"I wish I could have protected Professor Shun. His enemies attacked him when he was too sad to be strong, and I was no help at all."
"Be silent."
Chu Shuja held out his hand.
"Xiao Guo, when I realized that He Paoshi was facing powerful enemies without a warrior at his side, I was very angry. I'm angry still that we were caught unawares, and that you were both grievously wounded. But I am not angry that Shen Wei asked you to accompany him."
"Do you know why he chose you?"
"Oh, yes, it was because I know that cemetery very well. Shen Wei had a map, and I was able to guide him to his brother's monument."
"You are truly a beautiful fool."
Smiling, he cupped Guo Chengcheng's face gently with one big hand.
"Shen Wei did not choose you because you could read a map. He chose you because you were not afraid."
"That can't be right. I'm afraid of everything. You have told me that yourself many times."
"And so you are. You are afraid of big dogs, of people with loud voices, and of snacks eaten after their expiration date. You are afraid of the dark, of Chief Zhao, and thunder,
and even of Dachin when he fuzzes out his tail and hisses. You really are hopeless.
So you have told me, Chuga, Guo Changchun agreed sadly.
But you are not afraid of death itself, and you are not afraid of the dead. Why would I be afraid of the dead? They have been my best friends my whole life. I think perhaps you are not even afraid of dying, and that is why you can bear the heavy burden of your Dixing talent. That is also why Shen Wei chose you, even above Zhao Yunlan, whom he truly loves more than his own life. He needed someone beside him who would not be frightened by his terrible grief. This was puzzling. But grief is not frightening. Of course, we miss those who are gone. That is just the evidence of our love. As I said, Chu Shuja was being very gentle. This also frightened Guo Changchun a little bit. And here is the other thing, Chu Shuja said. Oh, here it comes, Guo Changchun thought, wincing. I wanted He Paoshe to have a warrior at his side. But I've had all night to think on this. If I had been there instead of you, I'm not sure I would have been so quick to understand that the image of Yizan was only an illusion. A warrior is trained to see enemies, but Guo Changchun, you saw the truth. You spoke the truth to Shen Wei. You could not prevent the attack, but you did allow Shen Wei to meet his enemies with his eyes open. Not like a blindfolded ram led to the slaughter, as his enemies surely intended. Oh, Guo Changchun blinked and had no idea what to say. You saved the life of the man I honor above all others. Chu Shuja solemnly bowed his head. You have my gratitude.
Good morning, good morning. Zhao Yunlan burst into the hospital room. Lao Chu, Xiao Guo, look what I have brought to you. Chu Shuja turned, eyes narrowing, but his expression immediately lifted as Shen Wei followed Zhao Yunlan into the room. He looked very unfamiliar without his glasses, dressed in ill-fitting hospital scrubs that Guo Changchun recognized from Lin Jing's lab, unstyled hair spilling over his forehead. He was smiling, though, and his arms were filled with bags and boxes. The smell of warm food accompanied him into the room.
We knew you wouldn't be getting fine cuisine laid up in the hospital, so here we are to rescue you, Zhao Yunlan explained grandly.
Unfortunately, this is hardly fine cuisine, Shen Wei corrected, but I believe you will find it nourishing.
Professor Shen, you look well, Chu Shuja said. He was very nearly smiling.
Chu Shuja was right. Professor Shen not only looked better than he had last night, he looked better than he had in months, moving without hesitation to Guo Changchun's bedside, hooking a tray table with one foot and wheeling it over and setting down his packages.
This is not my own cooking, I'm afraid, but I wanted to make haste to ascertain how you were feeling.
The food smells so good, Guo Changchun exclaimed.
This is just like my dream. Surely there is enough for all of us to share.
Shen Wei smiled.
Yes, there will be enough for everyone. He laid his hand on Guo Changchun's forehead.
His palm was cool, and Guo Chengchun had the strangest feeling. A rush of warmth seemed to pour through him, followed by a release of all the tension he had not realized he was holding. He sagged into the bed.
"Would it be all right if I napped first?" he murmured.
He was suddenly too tired to keep his eyes open.
"Just a few bites," Shen Wei insisted gently. "Your body needs energy to continue healing."
"That's right," Zhao Yunlan broke in. "We are here for a victory feast, and you can't sleep through your own feast."
"That is very true," Chu Shuja agreed with a certain sly glint in his eye. "That would spoil it for everyone."
Guo Chengchun struggled to sit up again.
"Oh, I would not want to spoil the feast."
"Your friends are teasing you," Shen Wei told him. "But while you are sitting up, here is hot soy milk soup. Though I could not make it myself, I chose the extra chili oil and shrimp, and I hope you will find it nourishing."
"Thank you, Professor Shen."
Guo Chengchun could feel himself beaming from ear to ear.
"But you must have some too."
"I know it will be delicious."
End. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to leave feedback for the author, Martha.